is with deep regret that I order the death of a head of state. This is a decision never made lightly by one in my position, for to order it is to order my own death as well. Yet I must care for my family, and it is God's will that sometimes a father sacrifice himself for his children. I am convinced that the safety of my people, perhaps of all people everywhere, requires that Hobart Consuline die. It became clear to me that Sir Consuline and his government favored the unrestricted use of rejuvenation technology to extend lives without limit. The implications of this and of a free birth policy are clear. The Familius Regnant will inevitably seek to expand its territories at the expense of its neighbors. This will bring us into conflict, possibly into full-scale war. This we do not want. I urge the successors of Sir Consuline to consider the benefits of accepting the natural and legal limits of expansion. The Guerni Republic has used this technology, but committed to maintaining a constant population size, and has a long history of staying within its present borders. The Familius, by contrast, has been expanding slowly, but steadily for the past 200 years, and more rapidly in the past 50.
So have you.
Brunn agreed. They had invaded the Xavier system.
It is my hope that my successor and the government of the Familius Regnant can come to some permanent agreement on the border between us, and some controls to be placed on Familius expansion.
That is the end of the former chairman's message, chairholders. I am at your service to answer any questions.
Brunn pushed the button that signaled her request to speak.
Ambassador, I'm not clear on something. Does your government expect us to stop using rejuvenation technology, or does it expect us to offer some guarantee that we will not expand into your territory?
Sira, we have many concerns about rejuvenation itself. It was our chairman's belief that rapid population growth and the restriction of opportunities for younger persons would lead to political unrest, culminating in either civil war or expansion into the territories of neighboring states. We do not choose to be overrun by you, and we would avoid a war if possible.
So you think repeatable rejuvenations are driving population growth, and this will make us an expansionist state?
Or a very volatile, unstable neighbor at the least. It is our intent to press for some restriction on repeatable rejuvenation.
No!
Or some other reliable, measurable means of population controls. What we want is a stable border.
You just invaded us in Xavier a few years back.
The ambassador folded his lips together and shook his head.
Sir, it is not my mission to discuss what might have motivated the late chairman to attempt an incursion into your space. That was his responsibility, and he is no longer able to answer our questions. It is my mission to inform you of these facts, that your speaker, Hobart Consuline, was executed on the order of the late chairman, who has paid for that order with his life, and that the reason for the order was his concern, which the present government shares, about the instability unrestricted rejuvenation might cause in both your internal politics and our relationship.
But it's none of your business what we do in our own space.
Sira, we are neighbors. A fire in your house could loose sparks to burn ours.
But you can't expect us to just turn around and quit using a medical procedure that so
many... Sir, I expect nothing but to be heard. It is not my place to tell you what to do, only to tell you what my government thinks of what you do, and what my government might do in response to what you do.
Is that a threat?
The ambassador spread his hands.
I would hope we are very far from discussing threats.
And yet you killed Hobart Consuline?
The late chairman ordered his execution, yes. It is not quite the same thing. The present government deplores that decision and wishes most heartily that the late chairman had found it possible to convey his concern in a less striking way.
By starting a mutiny, I suppose.
That was Victor Barraclough.
No, sir. We started no mutiny. We deplore the mutiny and consider it a serious threat to peaceful interaction between our governments. Though if you want our opinion...
Oh, by all means, do give us your opinion.
It may well come back to this rejuvenation problem. The lack of opportunities for the young would naturally show up first in a stratified and disciplined segment of society. And was there not some problem with the military rejuvenations?
Brunn had the feeling that there was much more that the ambassador wasn't saying. It had been a Benignity agent on Patchcock who'd been involved in the production of substandard rejuve drugs, though she didn't know if it had been proved he was responsible. Naturally, if the Benignity was worried about expansion, they'd try to cripple the military ahead of time, make it impossible to maintain a strong, experienced military force, the kind of force that could invade, or protect against invasion.
Do you have more information for us, Sir Unzermars?
Not more information, no.
Then I move that the ambassador be thanked for his information, and that he be asked to hold himself in readiness for more questions.
Are you trying to cut off discussion?
No, but I see no benefit to the Familius in discussing this in front of you, Ambassador, with all due respect.
Agreed. I second the motion.
If I may.
Yes?
I would like to assure the Council that I or my staff will be available to answer questions at any time, and I quite agree that my presence is unnecessary while you conduct your business. If I might be excused?
Of course, Ambassador.
After he left, Brunn realized that no one had asked one crucial question. Had he known ahead of time? But arguments swirled around her as it had after her father's death. Although most now seemed to accept the ambassador's statement that the Benignity had been responsible for Hobart's death, the news of Pater's death hadn't yet reached them. She was fairly sure that would change things again.
One death that the Benignity admitted to is one thing. Two deaths, so close together, and one of them indubitably Mother's doing.
If they got out of this without a full-scale civil war, it would be a miracle. Harris Serrano came aboard her new command, the RSS cruiser Indefatigable, and made her way to the bridge with only half her mind on the rituals of honor and response. She would be commanding not only Indefatigable, but a small task force, two cruisers, four patrols, three escorts, and the usual supply and service ships. Harris slid her command wand into the captain's slot and entered her codes. The computer flashed a green response, code accepted, and an array of function pads came alight. The computer, at least, was still responsive to the fleet master codes.
Now to see about the humans.
As she read herself in, the humans on the bridge looked as crew usually did during a change of command. The juniors stood stiffly at attention, focused on her. The seniors kept one eye for the ship. She'd had no time to check the files on her new personnel, and none of them looked familiar. Without her own crew, she felt exposed. But this was her crew now. And wherever Petrus was, wherever Oblo and Mahari and the rest were, they would be doing their duty as she was doing hers. Indefatigable had been assigned crew on the basis of first come, first assigned. As the designated flagship of the ships then in port, her Commodore could trade off a few hands with others if necessary, but that was all. She had to have at least a few people who knew how to find their way around, or they'd have to spend a week in port.